Okay, hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net number 428 for March 9, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause for a few seconds to allow for priority traffic or for stations to disconnect if they do not want to hang around for our net. Okay, I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. Those are the four items that we like to hear from check-ins. If you don't have an SDF account yet, they're free. You can do all kinds of neat stuff with them, so work on that. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu GMT UTC via Echolink node 9229, which is known as the TechLink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, November Zero, Victor Zulu Charlie, for making this conference available to us for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all licensed radio amateurs and is not limited to members of the SDF community or the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We'd like to have a topic of the week to kickstart our discussions. And this week I was thinking, I don't think we've had a topic specifically about weather. However, weather is an important aspect of amateur radio, especially if you're involved in emergency service, storm spotting, and that kind of stuff. But even when the weather is, normal, it affects propagation. And so I'm wondering if there's kind of a Venn diagram of interest. If you're interested in ham radio, are you also a weather geek? Do you follow weather more than, maybe listening to the newscaster in the morning before you go out just so you know whether to take an umbrella or a jacket? Do you dive deeper into it? That's kind of the topic there, the weather, the thing that nobody, that everybody talks about but nobody does anything about, right? Okay, let me reset the timer here. Was I chattering and not actually transmitting there? Let me see. Let me back up and say that I'm going to run down the list of call signs I see on my dashboard here, and I'm going to call on each of you in turn. There's a station that popped in there and then disappeared. Okay. So I've got W8EMV N4RNW KF6GPE KC1TCA and K0BIT. It's probably kind of in the reverse chronological order of when they connected here, but so I'm actually going to call on you kind of in the reverse order. So starting with K0BIT. Okay, perhaps Craig stepped away from the computer there. Let's move to KC1TCA.
Hi, Wayne and all. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Charlie Alpha. Rich in East Falmouth, Massachusetts. My SDF username is RFX. Well, we just did go through that big weather event, having the blizzard of 26, and that was pretty fun. I was during the Aries exercise, well, I guess the Aries nets, which we had on and off all day long, they were asking for weather statistics around your area, like your house, and so one of them was me running out to the driveway, which is the closest thing we have to a wide open flat spot that I thought the snow would be the correct place to measure, and with a yardstick. And so I don't do anything with weather that is we don't even have thermometers anymore, so we used to have some outside our old house, but we kind of got rid of them and haven't replaced them because we've just got AccuWeather and everything else like that. I'm going to break for a second because I'm not even tracking time. I'll be right back. And I think your question about whether amateur radio people are also weather people, and I think that's true. That's certainly supported by what I've seen in the community that I'm in. But there's one other thing, which is that we have a lot of, well, okay, maybe I don't even know if we have a lot, but we do have a lot of boat people here who are fishermen. We have one of our most not productive ham, but he's one of the most active hams in just assembling hams to do a service. And he was a charter cruise guy. And so he had already been using radios, and just when he retired from that, started doing radio stuff more. So I think we have a mix of people here. Plus we also have a lot of military, which I think helps a little bit with that. But I don't know. I have not done anything that is more formal than a yardstick. I was thinking about it this year, and I may very well do it. We have Skywarn stuff every morning, but I haven't participated in any of this because, like I said, I don't really have any gear for doing it. That's basically it. It's good to be here with you all. KC1 TCA out.
Okay, thanks, Richard. That was a good report there, and you reminded me one of the things that I did not mention to ask is, do you have one of these electronic weather stations at your QTH? You know, some of them are very simple. They're just basically a thermometer and a rain gauge that you have to go out and look at. And some are pretty fancy where they use like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or something there, and you have like an electronic display inside your house. Very convenient. So that's an example of how nerdy you can get about weather. Let me acknowledge a new call sign has popped up on the dashboard here. Kilo Bravo 1, Tango Juliet Papa. And I don't immediately recognize that call sign, so I'm going to assume that this is the first time you've connected here during our net. So let me just quickly restate that this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot. It stands for Super Dimension Fortress. It's an anime thing that I don't really know. But what you should know is that it's a public access Unix system. And you can go to sdf.org, get yourself a free account, and do all kinds of neat stuff with a Unix system. You're already on my list here, KB1TJP, and I'll be calling upon you in turn after the other stations have had their turn. So, I'm kind of confused here. I've been calling people in the wrong order here, I think. Well, first I called for K0BIT. Are you back at the keyboard there, Craig? I guess not. How about N4RNW?
Yes, Wayne, N4RNW here, Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Harold here. Not much to add to the topic of the week, so I'll do listening and learning. We got a few thunderstorms, scattered, isolated thunderstorms popping up in the afternoons now, which is probably going to ramp up to spring and summer. But we're in drought conditions down here, so we need a big dump of rain a couple of times to get rid of the brown grass, brown plants, and all that. All right, hello to everybody. I might drop off, but I'll be listening until then. Back to you, Wayne, N4RNW.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Harold. And, we're the part of central Illinois where I am. I think we are in an extreme drought. We're going to need, I think, dozens of inches of rainfall, preferably spread out over time to recover soil moisture here. I heard some anecdotes recently about how cemetery employees, when they're digging graves, going down 6 feet, they have to be very careful not to bump the sides of the hole because it's just so dry and powdery that the slightest little bump and they can have kind of a little avalanche there and they'd have to dig it out again, like when they're putting the vault down there. So, right. Next on my list here is W8ENV.
Thanks, Wayne. This is W8ENV. Name is Ed. Location is Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the user ID is EMV. Glad to make it to this net. It's been on my invite list for a long time. Good to have time synchronized to my advantage. In terms of weather, I'm part of the local Skywarn crew. We'll get anywhere from 15 to 30 people on the air on the local Skywarn repeater if there's a if there's a weather event coming up. The training for it is next week, so I'm looking forward to the every 2 years training. There was a tornado in Michigan about 80 miles to the west of us with 4 fatalities just the other day. So it's on my mind the importance of having a strong early warning system for weather. And as far as weather and municipal stuff, for whatever reason, which appears to be money, the city of Ann Arbor is proposing to turn off its weather warning sirens and just use cell phone apps to let people know of severe impending weather. And all the comments I've seen about it have been negative given the relatively low cost of keeping 20 sirens on the line and the importance of making sure that you can notify people who are out on the water or on their bicycle or whatnot that there's something coming out. That they're not looking at their phone all the time. And with that, I'll be back to net. This is W8EMV Ann Arbor.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Ed, and hopefully we'll hear from you more in the future there. Now, here where I live, the sirens are the responsibility of the County Emergency Management Agency, and I have not heard any rumblings from them about discontinuing. But that's kind of a trend. Everybody thinks that cell phones are the magic solution to just about everything. So stay tuned, I guess. Let's see. I thought I saw K0BIT pop up on the dashboard here briefly, but no audio there. So let's try Craig again. K0BIT.
This time, see if it works. Testing, testing.
Yes, I heard testing, testing. Okay. Well, K0BIT, you have the floor. And just let me parenthetically note that I see that VK2DY has joined us.
Okay, so I'm testing out a little repeater of mine. I'm walking around the neighborhood, and maybe I need to turn up the watts on the HT from 2 watts up to something higher. This is K0BIT. Name is Craig, New Orleans right now, and Craigify is my SCF username. And let me reset. Okay, I think it's good. So, I am not a super weather nerd, but I have some open source weather apps, and I have a weather station that transmit on 433 megahertz, I think. It's kind of funny for 400 something. It's right in the middle of the ham band, and I do kind of watch that. And then, you know, what else did I do is I keep the temperature in Celsius because I like to get an idea of what it feels like, how hot it is. But I'm not, I tried doing Skywarn training and I couldn't deal with that. I did the first level and then I did the second level and I don't know. I said, this is more work than I'm willing to put in. I have so many things I like to do and I just didn't have the mental energy to sit through the rest of the Skywarn training, so I never finished it. Although it's really cool, I think I'm going to do other stuff. Anyway, that's what I got. Back to you.
Okay, thanks, Craig. Right, so I hope you're doing well. I think you said you're in New Orleans. Is that your usual QTH, or are you visiting?
So I don't remember if I talked to you about that. All right, so I grew up here. My wife is from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the Twin Cities. Anyway, so we live here. We have a house here, but we travel. We used to travel extensively in our motorhome. The past 2 years we have not. We are hoping to do that again this year. So, if all goes like we want, I'll be checking in from other places, but I hope that describes the situation.
Okay, sounds like fun. So, all right, well, welcome back. Let's see who's next on my list here. I think it's KF6GPE.
Good evening to Wayne and Annette. Wayne, thanks for taking the net. Let's see here. My name is Ray. Call sign is KF6GPE. I'm in Boulder Creek, California, which is between Silicon Valley and Santa Cruz, up in the Redwoods, and my FCS username is my call sign. Yeah, I've been a weather geek most of my life. Read weather books when I was a young kid, had the picture books with all the clouds and stuff, the field guides, the weather field guide. When I bought the place from my folks in 97, the first thing I did was put up a weather station up on the roof, which lasted until about 5 years ago when it failed, and I replaced it with a Tempest weather station. I've written some APR, some scripts that run on a Raspberry Pi here that proxy the Tempest weather station data back to the Apper's IS network. I actually need to get it on the air. Right now it's just going over TCP/IP, but I have to write a radio RF interface to get it onto the local APRS network. But yeah, part of it is for airy stuff, just because we get some pretty wild weather here in California, and part of it's general interest. So, yeah, lots of fun, and while we don't get we did get a tornado a couple years ago. We don't get tornadoes. We get a lot of rain, so it makes sense to keep an eye on it. Back to net control, KF6GPE.
Okay, well, yeah, lots of weather-related things can happen in California. Maybe not in your neighborhood there, but things like floods and landslides and fires and, right. Okay, let's see. As I said, VK2DY has joined us, but he stepped away from his computer, so I'll wait until it's his turn before I recap the topic this week. So next on my list is KB1TJP. Okay, perhaps that station. Oh, there he goes.
JP. Dave is my name, and I'm in central New York. Used to be down in Connecticut. Interest in weather came from Skywarn training and some community emergency response team responsibilities. I still am interested in all of that, but have sort of stepped away from it all and just wandered over here, was interested in the conversation.
Well, okay. Thanks for joining us, Dave, and you're welcome to come back every week at the same time. 0 hours GMT on Monday morning. Well, London Monday mornings anyway. Thanks for joining us this week. And I should say, I finally got my license after many years of dithering about 25 years ago. And one of the first things I did was join the local Aries group. And so I've been doing Skywarn kind of stuff. Our Aries group used to actually go out and do storm spotting, not storm chasing, but storm spotting. And I used to describe our function as being like, you know, back in the days of like the Civil War, you had infantry who were like bunkered down in, you know, foxholes or behind fortifications, and then you had the cavalry that would go out and scout the enemy and, you know, gather intelligence and so on. And that's kind of the situation with the emergency management infrastructure where I live here in Illinois. The emergency management agency, it's part of the county. They have stationary observers, you know, firemen, policemen, public works people throughout the county who have taken the Skywarn training. And so, you know, they know if they see, you know, a funnel cloud or a tornado on the ground, they call in and report it to the Emergency Operations Center. But they're usually in fixed locations throughout the county. And what the hams would do is, because we had mobile radios, we would drive out to kind of the gaps in the network, so to speak, to watch for a problem, you know, funnel cloud, a tornado on the ground, hail, that might slip through the fixed observation network. Anyway, that's probably more than you wanted to know. But we don't do that much anymore, because most of the time the severe weather happens after dark, and the decision was made that it was too dangerous to send mobiles out after dark because it would be very easy to be trapped and, you know, hurt by a storm activity. So anyway, that's my story. So let me reset. And it's time for DK2DY, and if you haven't figured it out already, the topic this week is weather. Are you a weather geek? I'm thinking that there's kind of an overlap of interest between ham radio operators and weather enthusiasts, so that there's a good chance that if you're in one group, you're probably in the other one as well. I see that I did time out. Well, sorry about that. I'm not sure how to recover from that except to ask what was the last thing that you heard me say. And if I said something important after that, then I'll try to, repeat it. So anyway, to Robert there, VK2DY. So the topic is weather. Are you a weather geek? Do you have, a weather station? Do you participate in, storm spotting or skywarn kind of activities, emergency services kind of activities. So pretty much anything connecting ham radio to weather, that's kind of the topic this week. So, VK2DY, it's your turn.
Yes, good morning. This is Robert Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee in northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 21 degrees, and speaking of weather activity, it's raining. That's been our weather for the last, for most of the month, actually. Overcast and light rain on and off. Except for the other night, where we actually had thunder and a heavy rainstorm of, 70 millimeters, about 3 inches, give or take a little bit. So, but anyway, that's been our weather. And I do have a weather station sitting in the backyard. It is on, what is it? Weather Underground, I think. It's ICIDNE1122, I think is the number. It's sitting on Weather Underground. Is that Weather Underground? I think it's Weather Underground. I don't know. It's been so long since I set it on there that I can't even remember what system that is anymore. Anyway, I do check it religiously. I do watch what amount of rain we get. I do watch all the temperatures and humidity and everything else, just to see how I compare with everything else. I was a little bit too much exposed in the sun. I noticed that I was getting higher temperatures than everybody else, so I did some covering over it to try to mitigate some of the heat that was overheating the thermometer and getting higher temperatures. So I'm getting temperatures now close to what other weather stations around me are reporting. So fix that. Anyway, other than that, let me reset for a second here. Not sure what the timeout is here. VK2DY. Other than that, Bureau of Meteorology, affectionately called the BOM, doesn't really have a Skywarn type system. They do have storm spotters, and you go on the computer and you report how much rain you got or other things like that, but there's not really any kind of formalized system or training or anything like you guys have with your Skywarn or Canwarn. We just don't have anything like that. And we do have emergency signals. They will let off the sirens, although there are very few sirens around to let off. So the main way of communicating is through the phone or on the radio. Right now, what we receive, you can receive a text from a special mobile phone number, 04444444444, and if you get a text from that message, it's a warning. So that's how they do it at the present. But starting in the winter, right around July, June, July, they're going to be putting out Osworn, which is a system like the United States has had for a long, long time. There's a debate right now. In the United States, you can turn that off. But there's a debate here whether or not they should allow it, and they're probably going to just allow turning off the non-critical alerts. That's, I think that's what they've settled on. Is you can turn those off, but you can't turn off bushfire, cyclone, any of those kind of warnings. That's how they've settled it. So your phone will buzz and make noise, even if it's sleeping, even if it's doing anything. If it's, as long as it's connected to the network, it'll make a noise and warn you. That's what they're setting up at this point. Oz Alert, they're calling it. So, we shall see how that works. They're going to test it in June. And that's their primary way of getting to people. Because a lot of people have just blocked the Oz Alert, mobile phone number. You won't be able to block this one. So it is what it is. VK2DY, back to net.
Okay, well, thank you, Robert. Your comment makes me wonder, does Australia have something similar to the NOAA weather radio network across the United States? And in fact, I think you're from Canada originally, so or maybe I'm confused about that. But anyhow... if you're not familiar with it, there are like five frequencies in the 162 megahertz band that are used by NOAA weather radio stations throughout the country. I think they have fairly good coverage so that wherever you are, you can have a weather radio monitoring for bulletins about things like tornadoes or severe thunderstorms or flood warnings and so on. I think it's all, well, I think maybe there's also an earthquake warnings or tsunami warnings in the parts of the country where those things happen. But anyway, do you have a radio system in Australia like that, or is it all, cell phones?
VK2DY, there is no weather radio or anything like that here. They never bothered to set that up. And now with everybody going to phones, it's never going to be set up. But when I speak about radio, the government radio here, ABC, Radio National, is the official communications channel of any emergencies. So there's pretty much Radio National in every town, and so that's how they would handle emergency radio is through Radio National, through a regular broadcast radio station, VK2DY.
Yes, we have a system like that, too. I think it's called the Echo Alpha Sierra Emergency Activation System, something like that. If you're as old as, you and I, you probably remember ConElRad, the system back in the 50s and 60s. There were two AM broadcast band frequencies that were set aside for civil defense information. So in the case of like a nuclear attack or something like that, that's where you would tune your AM radio to hear official information. And I'm not sure if it was ever intended to be used for weather. I don't think so. But that was a thing back in the day. So, I'm trying to think if there was something else you said that I wanted to reply. And I can't think of anything. So, I think I've given everyone a chance to speak. I'm checking the dashboard now. No new call signs there. So now it's time for recheck. So if you want to come back and add to what you said before, please call now. Okay, that massive silence suggests that it's time to wrap up the net here. So let me see if you have any announcements or anything here. Just the usual stuff. If you're not already a subscriber to the mailing list, you can go to send an email to majordomo at sdf.org and subscribe to SDFARC-L. I can never remember whether you do it in the subject line or in the body of the message, so I always say do it both. If you're interested in volunteering to be a net control, contact me either here in Echolink at the after the net, or send me an email at jwh@sdf.org. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ 73. Everyone, thanks for being here.
K0VIT. Anyone still there? Over.
I'm still listening.
Hey, Wayne. It's Craig. I'm testing out, seeing how far this little computer goes. I was listening to you taking a walk around the neighborhood, and it wasn't doing too good. I was too far away, but I'm wondering how I sound now.
Well, it's a little noisy. Not so bad. I mean, like white noisy. Not so bad as to, inhibit comprehension. But there were some other artifacts in there, kind of some ker-chunking sort of sounds there. I'm not sure what's up with that.
I wonder if I just wasn't making the squelch on the itself, activating and deactivating or something.
Well, what I can do that might help, whenever I do the net, I record it in Echolink, and then I upload the audio file to SDF, and it's supposed to go into the archives of the Anon Radio website. However, it doesn't usually happen promptly. Sometimes it takes like 8 or 12 weeks before they go in and discover, oh, there's a bunch of new SDF ARC files here, so let's move them over to the archive. So, but what I can do is make a note to email a copy of today's net audio so that you can listen to it and hear what it sounded like to me.
Sure, that'd be great. I remember where I was walking when I talked to you, and because where I am now, it seems to work good. There's a vehicle passing, it may be loud, but I'm about, I don't know, like three blocks from my house, and the radio is in my RV, and it's really only set to 2 watts, so it could be that, and it doesn't have the best antenna. So, yeah, if you email that to me, that'd be great. I'd like to hear what I sound like, because I remember where I was standing when I talked to you.
Okay, and that last transmission was very good. I could tell that you were not, like, sitting in your house using the computer. You were definitely using RF. But and I did hear the car going by. But the white noise that I remarked about previously was diminished. So it was a clearer reception. So, and when you get the audio file, you can see for yourself or hear for yourself.
I guess in a way, Wayne, we could say that our eyes are literally radio receivers, but they're in the what? Is it the terahertz range? Am I being pedantic? Anyway, thanks for doing that.
Well, I dig pedantry myself, so no need to apologize or anything. Right. Okay, so if that's all, I'll probably wrap it up here.
Yes, I don't know if you're still recording. I'm assuming you are. All right, cool, man. Catch you around. See you on COM, K0BIT, 73 for now.
Okay, 73, everyone who's still listening, this is AB9FJ.